Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think I've ever said it that way. Welcome back, folks, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Looking forward to continuing the journey from Caesarea to Rome. We're right in the middle of it. They've made this very dangerous decision, but it was the majority decision to leave a place of safety, to make a run for it, to a better place to spend the winter, and they are underway. And things change quickly. So we're in Acts 27 and verse 14, where the Bible says, "But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind." So they decided to leave in a soft blowing wind. But when they got to kind of the place of no return, when they're out in the middle, beyond the harbor, between harbors, the Bible says there arose a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. I just like saying that. I don't know if that's the proper pronunciation, but I'm sticking with it. Verse 15, "And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." So in a storm like that, you want to try to maintain your course. You want to try to, I forget what the exact nautical terminology is, but you want to tack against the wind and find a way to continue your journey. But it was impossible. The wind was so strong that they actually had to give up and allow the ship to go off course, let her drive in order to just to save the integrity of the ship itself.
Yeah, this is not at all a good experience. Some of you may be sailors, and this is going to be a bad scenario, because if they don't, let's let it go now, they could tear the ship apart, tear all the sails apart. And so this is not a good circumstance they're in right now.
It's interesting. The very first consequence of the bad decision was we have to give up on our destination.
Yes.
And then they're looking for, hey, if we can find any old destination, any old little harbor, I don't care how commodious it is. It's interesting how bad decisions will adjust your expectations.
They sure do. And it's going to throw their timing off. As you mentioned, they wanted to find any place now. Definitely is not going as they had planned.
Verse 16, "And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. And when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven." So it seemed like they had a temporary reprieve to make some adjustments. But if they had stayed there, the ship could have been caught and then it would have been disastrous. So it seems like even the options that are ahead of them are not acceptable options.
This is not good at all. They're in a dire situation right now.
So they have let the ship drive. That's option number one. They've tried to find safety alongside this certain island, but it wasn't going to work. So, and even though they've strengthened the ropes and the undergirdings, it's a little bit too little, a little bit too late. And the Bible says in verse 18, "And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship." So now at this point, they're saying, hey, our lives are more important than this stuff. So the very purpose for which they're sailing is to make money by the exchange of goods, but now they're throwing it overboard.
They are just going to the last resorts now, so to speak. They're getting rid of whatever they can to try to help save the ship. Now the goods, you know, who cares about them? We got to save our lives, is their thinking.
And you have to wonder, John, if as they're going through all of these measures, are they in the back of their mind hearing the voice of the Apostle Paul, who said, let me warn you, if you go on this journey, it's going to be bad for the goods of the boat, but it's also going to be bad for our own lives. So now what they're seeing is, ooh, what he said was true. The goods on the boat are now in jeopardy. We're throwing them overboard.
But that's not all that Paul said. He also said our lives are at stake.
I would think that has to be going through their minds and seeing this all unfold. And I'm sure these people are weary now. You know, they're spent physically in some ways, I'm sure. And I'm sure that's got to be in their mind thinking about, okay, we see this happening. Paul also said people would die. They've got to be fearful.
The Bible says it gets so bad in verse 19 that the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. So a couple things here. First of all, not only are they throwing off the wares on the ship, but now essential components of the ship itself they're throwing overboard. At this point, it's just we want to survive. And I like what Luke says here. We did this. So it's not only the sailors, but it's the passengers. It's all hands on deck. It's you know, it's Paul out there working. It's Aristarchus. It's Luke. It's everybody is doing everything he can.
And as you look, as you read this passage in the Bible, you can just see, you know, the anxiety of some of these people on board. And you can see, you know, just the fright of some of them. And they're doing everything humanly speaking to be able to save their boat and save their lives. They are in a situation way beyond their control.
So the wind is contrary to them. Now they're suffering an economic loss. There's the anxiety. And the Bible says in verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. So to add insult to injury, there is no way by which for them to guide that ship, because you would use the sun as kind of a guide during the day. You would use the stars as a guide by night. This storm is so bad, they can see neither, and the storm's not letting up until finally they give up hope. We're going to die. At this point, it's just a matter of time.
This would have been extremely discouraging. Can you imagine going days upon days with no sun, you know, everything clouds, no sun, no stars? This would have been very discouraging for sailors. And they are just the point, they've just basically resigned themselves. We're going to die at some point.
And I'll make this observation, and that is, you know, in the trials of our life, in the storms of our life, and again, folks, this is an application, this is an observation. Many times we respond well on the first day or in the first week and trust God and let's do what we can. And we've got to make some decisions here. We've got to tighten the belt. That's what they're doing. They are making hard decisions. They are doing everything they can, but there comes a place sometimes in a trial where we've exhausted all of our efforts. We've exhausted all of our resources. We're nowhere closer than we were at the beginning. I give up. And they're at the give up place. Giving up is something that takes place on the inside long before it takes place on the outside.
It sure does. It's a matter of attitude and perspective. And, you know, when somebody just gives up, you know, they're often in a very dark place in their life. And these men now, they have just said, you know, we've done all we can. This is the end.
And Luke speaks as one that feels that way as well, because the Bible says all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. So it's not as if Luke is a bystander describing the hopelessness of the sailors or the hopelessness of the other passengers, but it's Luke participating and saying, we were hopeless. We thought we were going to die. So even somebody as strong in faith as Luke was convinced that this journey was over.
This would have been a very terrible storm. Now, I've been in hurricanes before. I lived in Pensacola for many years. I was in hurricanes. But hurricanes just kind of come and go. They don't last for days upon days upon days. And that's what these men have experienced. They've been through a very terrible storm. It's hard for us to imagine this unless you've been in a storm like this. But this would have been very depleting emotionally, physically. These men are drained right now. They have spent their resources.
They really have. It reminds me of the apostles themselves in that storm in Galilee, where they had depleted their resources. They had bailed water. They had exercised every level of anxiety, and they actually began to question the Lord himself. And it was then when the Lord quieted that storm, but he chided them for their lack of faith. So they had become hopeless as well. What am I saying? I'm saying, my friends, you're going to face storms in your life where circumstances seem to be getting worse, not better. And sometimes the storms of your life are storms in which you made a bad decision to go in the first place. But there's no reason to lose hope. God is bigger than your storm, and God is bigger than your bad decision. And we're going to see in the ensuing story, in the days to come, just what God did and how something that was a huge physical negative actually was something that God used as a positive for the gospel. But you'll have to stay with us, because we won't get there next episode. But in the next couple of episodes, we're going to see exactly how this unfolds for the gospel's sake. Thanks for joining us. Hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.